Amen. Amen. Well, welcome this morning. Gonna be switching gears a little bit, just into a different section of the Bible. But again, if you're new with us this morning, I've been preaching a series on building the temple. And again, if you look into Peter's writings and Paul, they both talk about building this spiritual temple. But what they're talking about is this corporate entity. Amen. Not just like I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, temple, 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 but that we're actually being built together as a temple, one temple, each church. The Bible talks about it. Every church that gathers folks together, there should be a temple there, built up of the members of that congregation, the people that worship together. Amen. And that as that we learn to be built together by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that we will be, it's all about relationship. Amen. That our as we get build those relationships properly, that it's a place that is pleasing to God and He will settle His presence there. Amen. So we're going to shift gears to a different section of the Bible this morning. We're going to hit probably two sections in the New Testament, and I'm talking about this morning starting another little mini series, and they're called Building the Inner Man. Everybody say that with me, Building the Inner Man. Amen. We prayed about a little bit with Pastor Karen and Pastor Al, just this inner man strength we talked about a little bit during worship. But church, you know what I'm seeing in the church in America is we got a lot of wimpy Christians around. Can I get amen? And if there was a mirror here, I'd be looking at one. All right, I'm not pointing fingers, right? But boy, if you read in the Bible what these guys did and the stuff that they went through, and they just kept moving, and then the stuff that we go through and give up, it ain't even close, man. Can I get amen? Right? I mean, if our dog gets a hangnail or something, we like skip church for a month, man. I mean, it's like the craziest stuff happens to us. We get bent out of shape so fast. But in the Bible, these guys, like Paul, one story about Paul, the guy's preaching in the city. They don't like what he's saying. They drag him outside the city and throw stones at this guy till they think he's dead. And they just leave him. They walk away like that's a cool thing. That's common, right? And you know what the Bible says is that Paul, the Spirit of God strengthens Paul. He stands up, the next day goes back into the same city and keeps on preaching. I'd be like, bro, I don't think they like your message, man. Right? Come on, church. Could you imagine somebody throwing stones at you until you're dead? They think you're dead. I mean, what did he look like? Crazy. Can I get amen? But you know what happened? I've seen is we're going to be going the next few weeks, going back into the Old Testament a little bit, and looking at some stuff in there. But what happened to Paul and Peter and some of these guys? We hear stories of real powerful people in the kingdom. Is something happened inside of them that I think most Christians are missing? I ain't talking about getting saved, man. That's easy. Can I get amen? I'm talking about some kind of transformation that happens inside of us because we're saved, right? Something shifts to be able to go through those things and just keep moving. Is that good? So Ephesians 3, let's turn there. You guys bring it up on the screen if you could. It'd be great. We're going to do a little bit of teaching here, and I might move a little bit quickly this morning, but I don't know. We'll just see where it goes, but it'll be good either way. Ephesians chapter 3. Everybody there? We're going to start in verse 14. Paul says this: "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he," who's he? The Father, specifically, right? "That he would grant you," who's you? The church, us, right? "According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." So that, everybody say so that. So that you can lay hands on sick people and they get better. So that you can cast demons out of folks. So that you can prophesy. So that, or the Greek phrase there, church, is it in order that, right? So Paul's praying that we'd be strengthened in our inner man by the riches of God's glory. Think about that phrase, amen, right? This God that owns everything, he's all-powerful, almighty, exists everywhere all the time. There's no place that God is more than he's somewhere else, amen? He's without beginning and end. He is wise. He knows everything. He is unlimited. That God, the riches of that glory, Paul's saying, I pray that gets released inside of you through the Holy Spirit for your inner man so that what? Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, church, what's interesting is the next verse is the one we love to quote. Now, to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory. Right? So you know the hook on verse 20. I'm not even preaching about verse 20 today. Do you know what limits verse 20 from happening? It says, in according to the power that works in you. In according to, in agreement with, right? So that means that what the only thing that's stopping God, who can do whatever he wants at any particular moment in time, from doing whatever he wants, from doing that exceedingly abundantly above and beyond, the only thing that's stopping that is that it's got a link with what's going on in here. It's according to the thing he's deposited in me. So I've got to grab hold of what's in my heart and grow that and work with that and nurture it and pray and worship and read my Bible and fellowship and be under leadership and submit and lead and grow. I've got to work out what he's worked in. And as I, because all that is just me lining up under that fountain. Can I get amen? We're going to talk a little bit about some teaching this morning about how does that work? How does this work out? Are you guys ready? All right, one person's ready. That's enough. Praise God. This is going to be, I hope you guys get this. This is going to be so good. So Paul's praying, and he tells the church, this is what I'm praying for you, right? That our inner man would be strengthened. You guys see that, right? Okay, but look at the verse 17 is where I really want to start. And let's look at what he says here, right? He says, so that Christ may dwell in your heart. So my kids, my second kids, one of her favorite phrases is, wait, what? Did anybody else's kids say that? Wait, what? So just think about this, man. So Christ dwelling in my heart, right? How many people know the old thing, like Jesus is in my heart, right? So like Paul's not talking to sinners here. He's talking to church folks. He's talking to people that already are saved. They already are born again. So why is Paul praying for people who are already saved and he's praying that Christ would dwell in their heart? I thought Jesus already came. I got saved 25 years ago, man. Jesus came in my heart 25 years ago. So what the heck is Paul talking about here? Well, first of all, he doesn't say that Jesus would dwell in your heart. He says that the Christ would. Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's his power. It's the authority. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christos, right, is the Greek word. It's the power of God. It's the anointing of God. Can I get amen? And then what's interesting, church, is the word for dwell in the Greek means to inhabit or to settle. It means to inhabit or to settle. So the Greek word, Paul's saying that I'm praying that Christ would inhabit your heart, or that Christ, the Christos, the anointing of God, the power of God, would inhabit or settle in your heart. Amen. So I don't think, as I was looking at this week, I don't think what Paul's saying, Paul's not talking about this black or white, like Jesus is in my heart or he's not, right? I'm saved or I'm not. That's not what he's talking about. He's not saying I'm home or I'm not home. Can I get amen? I think what he's more talking about is what position have I allowed Christ to take in my heart? Right? So we think about like if I visited your home. Well, I'm a little bit weird. I probably would open your fridge without asking. Just saying. But most folks, right, it's kind of rude to go to someone's house and, like, there's some folks in the back. They're like, yeah, you definitely eat all my food when you come over to my place, man, for sure. Right? But you know what I mean? Most times you don't go to folks' houses and just open the fridge. Right? You don't go, like, into the upstairs to the bedrooms or whatever. That's just weird, man. You don't do that. Right? You're like, is it okay if I sit on the couch? Like, can I, you know, do I take my shoes off? Right? We're very cautious when we go into someone else's home normally. Right? So I think what Paul's saying here, church, is if we allowed Christ, right, the kingship of God, access to my house, or is he just got to stay in the living room and ask to use the bathroom when it's time, or go in the fridge or whatever, right? You understand? Does the Holy Spirit, does the Christ, is he allowed access to our bedchambers in our heart? Can he go anywhere in our house that he wants to go? Or is there certain areas that we're like, yo, that's the junk room, man. We don't go back there. That's where all the, we don't open that door because stuff's gonna just fall out on you, you know? Right? Some of you are chuckling because you got a junk room in your house that's just like that, full of stuff. Just make sense, everybody? Right? See, the Holy Spirit, the Lord told me years ago, church, man, I was leading worship, you know, a long time. I was leading worship, doing lots of stuff in the church, and I was driving home from church one day, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, will you stop visiting me on Sundays? I was like, yo, what? Come on. What? Wait, what? I mean, I was like, I'm leading worship. I was running the men's ministry. I was teaching children's church. I was like on the board. I was preaching like twice a year when they let me, you know. But I mean, I'm thinking, man, I'm really on fire for God here, man. I'm doing lots of good stuff. I was in prayer meetings pretty consistent, you know. I was even nice to folks sometimes, you know. And man, the Holy Spirit was clear as day. He said, stop visiting me on Sundays. And I was like, what does that even mean? I don't even know. Right? But what it was, church, is it was like, whoa. Think about the Old Testament. You know what Moses says to the people in the Old Testament? When God's going to show up, he says, sanctify yourself today and tomorrow, because on the third day, God's going to show up. Right? He says, don't even touch a woman. Right? Can I get amen? And see, but the new covenant, church, is not, it's not like, oh, geez, it's Sunday. I better get my act together Friday. A couple of chuckles. They're like, uh-oh, busted. Can I get amen, church? Come on, man. We do it. Oh, man, it's Saturday at 5. I haven't prayed all week. Lord, I'm sorry. In Jesus' name. I'll see you tomorrow. Can I get amen? See, because what happens, man, is like we do stuff, we get stuff that we're like, okay, I really need God to show up right now because it's like church stuff, right? I'm gonna whatever I do for church stuff, you know, whether it's prayer meeting or worship or preaching or read my Bible or whatever it is, right? And it's like church stuff, and it's like, okay, Christ, come in here, come on in, take residence here. I'll get off the throne for a couple hours on Sunday morning. Come on in, have your way, do your thing, and then church is over. You're like, all right, move over. Because I got stuff to do. Do you see that, church? And see what happens. The reason that that's such a mess, and look, we know God's patient. He's kind. He understands our weaknesses. We know all these scriptures, right? So please hear my heart, man. But the problem is with that is that then what happens when I'm sitting on the throne, really, when I've kind of pushed him off the throne a little bit, you know what happens when something comes at me that I haven't planned for? It's a panic attack trying to get him, come back. Sorry, here we go. Right? Okay. Panic, attack's over. Okay, I got it again. Thanks, I got this. See you later. See, that's, you understand what I'm saying? It's not whether or not I'm saved or not saved. It's who's running the show even after I'm saved. Right, we're talking about for the last several weeks growing, becoming mature believers, man. Right, look, I said last week, if you read this gospel, people are following Jesus for just a couple of months casting demons out. Right? They come back, they're like, man, this is amazing. What does Jesus say? Don't rejoice in that. But rather rejoice your name is written in the book of life. Right? You rejoice because you've been redeemed to the Father. You rejoice because your sins have been washed away. You rejoice because you go to heaven when you're done here now, buddy. Okay? Do what I told you to do on earth, but that's just what I told you to do. That's not who you are. Who you are is what you got to rejoice in, man. The relation, you're rightly related to God. The biggest miracle that will ever happen on earth is right in my heart that I have been forgiven. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are covered and are not accounted against him. What? Crazy, isn't it? Let's keep reading. You guys good here? Have I allowed my heart to be a place where Christ can settle? Where he's welcome? Where he feels safe in a sense? Does he feel comfortable in my heart? Can he touch things in my life that are sensitive? There's a Facebook thing went around recently that said, I'm just sending up a prayer for all those people that don't want to talk about certain things. Man, if I was less politically correct, the Holy Spirit's working on me, all right? I'm becoming less PC. But look, you know what I wanted to say was like, if you're not willing to talk about it, good luck getting over it. And it's never going to happen. If you can't just be honest about what happened in your life or what you did or what was done to you in the appropriate environment, can I get amen, right? Probably just don't get a megaphone and yell it from the corners, probably not. But in a safe environment with believers and brothers and sisters, right? If I can't be real about who I am and where I'm at and what's going on, what I've been through, what I'm going through now, what's maybe coming, you will never get free from it. Just the way it is, man. All right, the Bible clearly tells us I need to be able to be open and honest. Is that right? But see, the first step to being open and honest with my brother is to be really open and honest with the Christ. See, if I can't be open and honest with God, there's no way I'm going to be honest with him. Right? Man, there's nothing in your life. There's stuff in your life you don't even know is there that God's not ashamed of. There's stuff in your heart that if you knew was there, you'd never come to church again. And God's not ashamed of that. He says, man, bring it out. Let's go. Let's get it right. Is that good? See, is the Holy Spirit allowed to rearrange my furniture? Is he allowed to hang his pictures on the wall? Is he allowed to, you know, open my fridge and, no, that's no good, that's no good, that's no good. Just throw the whole thing away. We got to put some new food in there. We got to start feeding you some better stuff. Amen. I've been at the gym for 2 months. The first thing they told us me is stop eating processed food. I'm like, yeah, but it tastes so good though. Nothing like Doritos, man, or something, you know. Is that good? But see, church, in the spirit is the same thing. This is what God's getting at, man. What are you eating? What are you feeding yourself on? Right? Look, when something goes off the rails in your life, anybody got something off the rails right now? Just raise your hand. Be real. We're in church, man. Come on, something that's like, okay, I thought this was going to be over here, and we're over here somewhere. It's all right. We're still on the planet, so we're doing good, right? But come on, man. When stuff goes off the rails in your life, how do you respond to that right there? Right? If my response is something that's unhealthy, that's showing what's going on in my heart. Right? If I reach for a drink, if I reach for a smoke, if I've got, amen, if there's any type of external comfort coming when life goes off the rails, it's an indication of something wrong in my heart. Is that good? Check this out. Let's keep reading. Paul continues to go on. He says this, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. How many people want to be filled up to all the fullness of God? Hopefully everybody, every hand goes up in Jesus' name. Yes, all right. So look at, Paul's giving us like an instruction manual here. He's giving us some directions on how to get there. Amen. So we're going to take these next two verses and kind of go backwards with them. Amen. He says that we're to be rooted and grounded in love. The Greek word there, church, is, anybody want to guess? Agape, right? It's agape, right? We all know that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. God so loved agapeo. It's the verb form, right? It's this agape love of God. Can I get amen? So Paul is saying, I want Christ to dwell in your hearts and that you're rooted and grounded in agape, the love of God. This love from God that says, I have good thoughts about you. I have good plans for you. I have good things in store for you. I'm not going to destroy you. I'm not going to let you fall. I'm not going to let something destroy your life. It's not going to happen. Right? There's the love of God, right? There's nothing in the Bible that tells us the love of God is going to give us rainbows and butterflies and cupcakes every day. As a matter of fact, we're going to get in this a little bit today and keep preaching it if you come back. Amen. That the love of God, church, is sometimes going to look like he doesn't love you. I should have got like 10 amens on that one. Come on, church. Look, you got to see this, man. Can I just raise your hands again? Have you ever gone through something you knew was God taking you through it, and you're like, when is this going to be over? Man, you're like, stop loving me so much. So rooted and grounded, right? Roots are important to a tree for two basic ways. Number one, they keep the tree nourished. Right? Leaves are important, they help, but the roots is what keeps that tree alive in the winter. Right? They go down in the soil, they pull water out, they pull nutrients from the soil. Amen? Number two, the root system is the stability of the tree. Right? So if a tree's roots die, so you could see a tree that looks good on above the ground, but it could be already dead. Right? And as soon as something hits that tree a little bit, boom, it falls right over. Man, that tree looked like it was so good. Right, because that's how we live our lives out here. As long as we look good to other folks, we think we're doing fine. But as soon as a storm comes, we fall over every time. And it's like, what's going on? Why do I keep falling over? Why do I keep messing up? Why do I keep doing that? Why do I keep saying that? Why do I keep running to that issue? Why do I keep running to that addiction? Because every time a storm hits your life, there's not enough roots to keep you standing up. It's the root system that keeps you standing, man. Look at the palm trees down south. Man, when a hurricane comes, you ever seen those things? They'll bend right over to the ground, man. It's not the trunk that keeps that tree from falling. It's the roots. When the wind stops, boom, it comes right back up. Right? Tony Evans used to say this, the problem with most men is that they want a skyscraper live on a chicken coop foundation. Pretty good impression. You ever seen Tony? I work on it at home in the mirror. I check it out. It's pretty good. He says, look it. This is what he says. He goes, the way you know how tall a building is going to be is how big a hole they dig in the ground. Jesus says it like this. There, in Luke's gospel, there's a wise man who wanted to build this house, and so he dug deep. That's Luke's gospel of it, right? He dug deep and found a rock, and he keeps on digging until he finds something hard, right? Man, we got to keep digging sometimes. Amen. You ever have the Holy Spirit digging, and you're like, okay, we've got to be at the bottom now, and he's like, nope, we're still digging. You're praise God. So good. The second part, church, right? Rooted and grounded. The Greek word for grounded means to lay the foundation of. Right? And we all know that without a solid, secure, strong foundation, whatever you build will fall. Guaranteed. Paul goes on to tell us that he prays that we may be able to comprehend in verse 18, right? You may be able to comprehend with all the saints. So everybody's supposed to get this part. Amen? So here's what's interesting. As I was reading this, I paused in verse 18 a couple of days ago, and this thought hit me from the Lord, and the thought was this: my love is not always going to come the way that you want it to. Should have got an amen from every single person in a room, and maybe from folks that aren't even here this morning. Amen. Come on, anybody, right? How many people have asked God for something, and he's like, you hear crickets chirping? You're like, is this on? Hello, is anybody listening? So this was this thought, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this thing, and so in my Bible software, I look at all the original language and all this Greek and Hebrew and all this stuff. So there's a really powerful, this is so good, church. I hope you catch this, man. If we read this in English, Paul says in this translation that you may be able to comprehend, right? So if we think about that, what that means in English, it's like a mental thing, right? To comprehend something means I understand it, right? But the Greek, it's two words in that whole phrase, and the words mean this. The first one, may be able to, the Greek word means to have strength enough. And the Greek word for comprehend means to grab hold of or seize. So we take the words that Paul actually said when he said, when he wrote this, he's saying, I'm praying that you would have the strength enough to grab hold of what? With all the saints, what? The length, the breadth, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ. You're like, wait a second. Okay, so how we preach the love of Christ in America is like, I can just sit on my couch and eat potato chips and he's just going to bathe love on me. Amen. Like I'm just going to sit in a cabana on a beach and he's going to bring me drinks every time I ring my bell. Right? How many people think that sounds good, don't it? That's why those churches got lots of folks in them, because they keep telling them that stuff. That sounds perfect, doesn't it? Amen, right? I mean, I heard a guy preach about Song of Solomon one time years ago, and he was talking about, you know, you look at the Song of Solomon, and it starts off with the lover and Jesus, right? That's who it had, that's who the guy is, and got the Shunammite woman, and the lover is Jesus, right? And it starts off kind of the Shunammite woman is like sitting on a couch, and the lover's just popping grapes in her mouth and telling her how beautiful she is. But then what's the lover say? It's time, come on, we got to go do something. Time to go. She's like, no, let's just stay here. Let us have our full fill of love. We don't need to go out there. This is all good. It's so good. Just keep telling me how much you love me. Keep telling me how wonderful I am. Keep telling me, oh, it's all good. Don't worry about it. You don't got to do nothing. It's all good. But you know what happens, church? Read the Song of Solomon. Read the Song of Solomon and read the entire book as a story of maturing in Christ. Because that's what it really is. Amen. There's a couple weird things in there that's like, wow, that's inappropriate for the Bible. Amen. Read it if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. But if you read the book as a metaphor for maturation in Christ, what happens when the lover decides to not follow, when the Shunammite woman decides to not follow Jesus when he goes out, you know what happens to her, church? You know what happens? She eventually says, man, I probably should have gone. She goes to find him and can't find him, wanders around the city trying to find him. And you know what happens? She gets beat up. Because she didn't go when she should have. Isn't that crazy? If she would have just gone, he comes and rescues her and it's all good at the end, but she suffered unnecessarily because she said, I don't want to do what you want me to do. Just keep telling me how great I am. Sounds like church in America, doesn't it? Praise God. It's so good. You guys see this? Paul is saying to the church here, he's saying to us that there will be times in your life where you won't just need a good root system and a solid foundation to make it through what the devil's going to throw at you. There's going to be times when you need a root system and a good foundation to get through what God's going to throw at you. (laughs) Doesn't it feel warm and fuzzy? Yes. Praise God. Can I get an amen from anybody, man? You know, we're like, oh, the devil's being so mean. And it's like, the devil ain't even in the ring, bro. That's God in the other corner. You're fighting with him, man. Just tap out already before he even touches you because you're going to lose. Amen. So I'm telling you what, we got to stop thinking everything's the devil, man. Can I get, right? God is going to mess with your life. That's his MO, man. Can I, right? He wants you to change. He expects you to change. It's good. There'll be some stuff that he will take you through. God will take you through that is not going to be warm and fuzzy. It's going to be it's not going to be toes in the sand on a beach somewhere. It's not going to be smooth sailing. But what we need to allow him to do is to make us strong enough to grab hold of him and not give up. Right? Look, don't grow weary in doing good, because in due season you will reap if you don't faint. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, right? So what happens if I give up? Guess what you get? Nothing. Pastor, why don't I see the blessings of God in my life? I don't know. Maybe you're giving up too soon. Come on, man. You know how many times I want to give up? Pretty much every day. Can we just be real? Come on. There's something going to come at you pretty consistently that's going to make you want to give up. This ain't worth it. I'm punching out. Right? Now, maybe we keep coming to church. Maybe we keep throwing some cash in the basket. But when it comes to really pressing in for the stuff that God has for us, we're like, I'm good, man. I'm, you know, Jesus loves me. I'll go to heaven when I die. So praise God. But to contend for the deep things of God, man. Right? Not just for what we can produce, man, because we got some cool stuff, man. We can do some cool stuff in church. We got some churches with amazing, amazing music, amazing preachers, amazing programs. It's fine, all right? But look, pull the curtain back. Is there anything there? Like the Wizard of Oz. Oh, great and powerful Oz. Then they finally see who Oz really is, and they're like, that's it? What? You guys know Christine Kane? You guys ever heard of that lady? She's a pretty famous preacher from Australia. She said recently, she says, you know, a gift will fill a building, but only the anointing breaks a yoke. We got lots of gifts in the church today, man. There's plenty of gifts around. But how much anointing, how much real anointing is there? Amen? Hebrews chapter 12, let's turn there, almost done. Another 2 hours will be set, perfect. I'm just going to make a drive-through for, like, food during service. Like, rotating chairs, man. We'll just feed you guys hot dogs or something. Hebrews chapter 12, going to finish up right in here. And look, I think as you're turning there, I just want to, something, a thought I had before I started preaching today is, we're talking about building this community, right, family. And I guess I'm going to say it like this. Sometimes we go through things in life, and we feel because we're going through something that we're less valuable to the body. Anybody other than me ever felt like that? Right? Like, man, I ain't got nothing to give because, you know, my kids are off the rails right now. Or I got nothing to give because my finances are a mess. Or I got nothing to give because, you know, my marriage is, I'm struggling. Or I got nothing to give, I'm disqualified. And it's like, well, the Lord said to me, that is such a lie. Because you know what? Every single one of you got something that's going to disqualify you in your own head. Amen. But the reason we need community, the reason we need a family is because where you're weak, I'm strong. Where I'm weak, you're strong. And your strength covers my weakness, and my strength covers yours, yours covers mine. Can I get amen? It's the whole thing. Go watch National Geographic, man, or they got Disney Wild now or whatever it is, man. Watch how a lion hunts for prey. What do? They find a weak one. They find a sick one. They isolate it, dead. That's how it works. The devil prowls around like a purring kitty. No, man, like a roaring lion. How's he going to work? Find the sick one, find a weak one, isolate him, dead. We need community, man. Right? Man, if you feel like skipping church, that's the last time. That's the last thing you should do. Right? You feel like withdrawing from it, from relationship, that is, you need to press into relationship. Because that's the devil talking to you, man. Trying to get you to, oh, you don't need to go to church anymore. Oh, man, it's a lie. Is that good? Hebrews 12, let's read a few verses here. I love this. This is so good, but I'm going to do some teaching. Some of you that have been with us for a while, you'll probably remember this, but it's so powerful. Verse 4, Hebrews 12, verse 4, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you've forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. As sons. Everybody say, as sons. So you're already a son, right? Yeah, right? Right? Already a son. It's not about earning a sonship. This is what happens when you are a son, right? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he gives a big fluffy comforter to all the sons that he receives. My bad. He gives a pair of fluffy bunny slippers to all the sons that he receives. Now, the Bible says that he scourges every son that he receives. Do you know there's one other person in the Bible that was scourged? That's what happened to Jesus when they tied him to the post and whipped him with this thing called the cat of nine tails, which was this whip that they would tie metal and glass and stones onto the end, and they would whip him, and it would come around his body and grab on, and then they would just yank it. It would rip chunks of flesh off of his body. You ever seen the Passion? That's what scourging is. And I don't know, how many people like the Bible right now? I don't. Right now I don't, right? What does it say? God scourges every son he receives. You can't get out of it. Isn't that good? But let's look at it. What's he doing? You know what? He's not scourging you physically. How many people are grateful for that? Praise God. You know what he's scourging, though? He's scourging your soul. He is digging into your soul. He's digging into your the inner stuff, man. He's getting this stuff. He says, we need to rip some junk out of there. Is that good? Verse 7, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you, everybody say this, as with sons, right? For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. That's a tough one. You guys know the word for an illegitimate child? It's called a bastard. That's not a swear in church. I mean, that's what that word really means. Amen? Isn't that crazy? Look, the writer of Hebrews is saying that if you reject the discipline of God, you're an illegitimate child. Number 9, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they, meaning our earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he, our heavenly Father, disciplines us for, say it with me, our good. So that, everybody say so that, we may share his holiness. Well, you know, if Jesus loves me, can I just continue to live my life the way I think I should? No. No, you cannot. No, you cannot. Absolutely not. Well, if God made me, he doesn't make anything bad. So if God made me as a homosexual, then that must be how I am. No, you're not. Because God didn't make you gay. That's because you're born in sin. That's what made you homosexual. That's what makes you jealous or envious or selfish or angry or cheap or whatever your issue is. That's not how God made you. That's what happened because you're born into sin. Sin is what made you have those thoughts and those emotions and those behaviors. That's why you got to get saved. Right? You're saved out of that stuff, not so you can keep on doing it. Is that good? Now, again, this sometimes it's a process. Can I get amen, right? Come on, church. I've had stuff that was like, click, just gone. Boom, gone. I've had other stuff. He's like, you're going to grind that one out, buddy. Please take it away. He's like, nope. You're like, wow, that felt good. Praise God. Can I get amen? Anybody else? God tells you to grind something out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yes. I'm going to give you a little nugget. We're almost done. You know what the word for fear is right there? Work at your salvation with fear and trembling, the Greek word. Guess what it is? It's phobos. That's the word. P-H-O-B-O-S. You know what English word we get from phobos? Anyone want to guess at it? Phobia. It's not respect. That Greek word right there is not respect. It's not awe. It's not reverence. It's fear. The Greek word means to be frightened. Work at your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear. Why? Because there's consequences if I waste what God has given me. That's the truth, y'all. Maybe you're going to hear that very many places, but that's the truth. If you got grace in your life, if you've received the gift of grace from God, he expects something out of your life. That's the truth, man. Right? Paul tells us, don't receive the grace of God in vain. How can I, if grace is just this big out of jail free card, how can I receive it in vain, man? Grace is supposed to produce something. It's supposed to change me. I'm supposed to look like Jesus, man, right? Now, maybe that takes some time, but when I'm all done and I go to heaven someday and stand before God, he's going to say, did you do what I told you to do? Were you the man I called you to be? Were you the husband I called you to be? Were you the father I called you to be? Were you the preacher I called you to be? Did you do what I called you to do, yes or no? And my excuse at that point can't be, well, Jesus died for me. Right. That's what makes you be able to be who I called you to be. Because he died for you, not so you can do whatever you want. Jesus' name. Look at all discipline, verse 11, for the moment, everybody say for the moment, seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who've been trained by it, what's it? Discipline, right? Afterwards, it, what's it? Discipline yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak. What did we just, you guys, I hope you guys are bridging this like it's bridging in my head. Amen. What do we say Paul says to be, that you may be able to comprehend, right? That you'd have strength enough to grab onto it. Right? Strength enough to seize it. Strength enough to like, okay, I'm grabbing on to this love of God. Can I get amen? Look at the devil is not the only one. I already said this, but I'm going to say it again. The devil is not the only one that's going to make you question God's love for you. You want to know how we know that? Another one of Paul's writings, he says this, that nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not powers, not principalities, not angels or demons. Not just demons, y'all. He says that not even an angel can separate you. What is he saying? He's saying that sometimes an angel is going to do something that makes you, going to make you think that God doesn't love you. Anybody ever been disciplined by their own dad? I'm not talking about crazy dads. I'm talking about guys that got their head screwed on pretty straight, right? Does it feel good? Like, oh yeah, spank me with that paddle again. Go for it. Psh, yeah, that feels great. Praise God. No, man, we try to get out of it, don't we? No, I didn't do that, Dad. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Do you see this, church? Strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Okay, so here's couple keys in closing right now. The word for discipline here in the Greek, the original language, it means this. So let me pause. When we say discipline in America, in English, what do we think about? You messed up. I'm going to punish you. Not you personally. And she's like, what'd I do? Right? Is that right, church, right? If we discipline our kids, it's because you done messed up, Aaron. If you guys don't know what that is, just forgive me. Amen. Right? See, we discipline is you messed up, now I'm going to punish you. Right? Is that good, right? But you know what? That's not what the word that the writer of Hebrews doesn't use. That's not the word he uses. The word he uses in the Greek means to train up as a child. Right? It's preemptive. It's, how many fathers we got in here? How many fathers? You guys got kids? How old are you? You got old, real, your kids are big, right? But come on, as fathers and moms too, but we're talking about dads here, right? Because that's what it says, that fathers discipline us, right? As fathers, when we see our kids doing something and we like, man, that's going to blow up in your face, bro. I know it is, right? What do we do as fathers? We're like, look, Junior, let's talk. All right. I know where that's going before you know. So let me, dude, don't do this. Do this over here, man. Go over here because that's going to blow up, man. I guarantee it. It's going to blow up. So do this. It's going to be better. Right? What are we disciplining our kids right there? Well, according to what the Bible says, that actually is the discipline of God. I'm trying to prevent a catastrophe here. I'm not just spanking you because you messed up. See, church, what we've fallen into in the church is, oh, I messed up. What's God going to do to me? Dude, no. God's discipline is he's trying to talk to us before we make a bad decision, before we date that person, marry that person, buy that thing, go for that job, say that to that person. Whatever we do, it's the Holy Spirit saying, slow down. Slow down. Slow your roll, son, because you're about to make a mess. I tell you, I've had times when the Holy Spirit's like, you stop right now. Stop it. It don't feel good. But you know what? Looking back, I'm grateful that I listened to that before I did something stupid, because then it would have been a big mess to clean up. See, if I listen when the Holy Spirit says, stop it, slow down, shut your mouth. He talks like that, y'all. I'm just telling you. He's not just fluffy all the time, man. He'll get on you. Can I get amen? See, if I listen to that warning, that discipline, that training from him, it's just a mess in my heart that's got to get cleaned up. I didn't mess your heart up yet. Right? See, this is every time we see this word in this chapter, discipline, every time it means to train up like a child. Right? It's teaching. I'm teaching you how to do this so you do it right. Right? How many people would rather get taught how to do something right and do it right than blow it and have to clean up a mess? Does that sound good? But we got to slow down enough to hear the Spirit of God. We got to get some relationships with folks that have been around the block a few times. Amen. There's been a lot, man, how many times, Pastor, do we sit in your office and you'd say, oh, yeah, I would do it this way. And I smile and nod and think in my head, that's fine. I'm going to do it this way over here, though. Thanks, bro. 6 months later, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why you said that. Praise God. You know, thanks. Come on, man, we do it, though. We all do it. We've done it. We'll do it again. Can I get amen? Right? Last point, guys. Let's stand up and we'll wrap it up right here. What's interesting is the writer of Hebrews here, which I think is Paul. I think Paul wrote Hebrews, but that's for debate. But the connection that he makes is he says, look, when he's talking about God disciplining us and that we should submit to, we should be happy about it. He says, look, we even submitted to our earthly fathers and they disciplined us the best they knew how, right? I look back at my dad, he was all right, you know, he was a good dude, loved him, but he probably could have done stuff a little better, right? But see, this is the connection. He says, look, if you're able to respect your earthly father who kind of, you know, did his best, how much more should we submit to him who's perfect, who's disciplining us, what does he say, for your good, right? He's every everything that God does, even the stuff that feels like, oh, why is this happening to me? Why is God doing this? Why is God allowing this to come in my life? Everything God is doing is for my good. Right? There's something that will strengthen our inner man. If I can get in my heart that I believe that God is going to do something good no matter what, no matter what, no matter what happens to me, God is going to make something good out of it. I'll be strong enough to stand under some storms. Can I get amen? Father God, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, we ask that you would touch every heart. Lord, let this word sink into our spirit, God. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to get some strength in us, God, some strength in our hearts, some backbone again, Lord, in the church, Father. Lord, that we would stop being so just blown around all over the place, God, that we'd stop going to work on Monday and getting sucked into that conversation in the lunchroom when everybody's complaining. Lord, we'd stop getting ticked off in traffic and having a meltdown. We'd stop getting mad at Fido because he peed on the carpet again and kick him. And Lord, that we'd start getting some strength in our spirit. That Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Help us get strong enough, Lord, where that light is shining bright no matter what we're doing, no matter what's going on around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. So again, my community group, we will be having lunch probably about 20 minutes back there. And if you're new with us, you're welcome to stay and eat. That'd be awesome. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a good week.